start. What's up? How's life? Is life good? Right? Thanks for coming today. My name is Emrose. I'm the pastor here at Delaware Christian Church. I know I see your faces. You are like all like trying to tune in. That's right. I have an accent. So for those who are visiting us for the first time or is listening to me for the first time, it'll take you a little bit of time to adjust, right? Isn't that how it goes? It'll take you a little bit of time to adjust, but by the end of the sermon, you'll be okay, all right? I promise you. Here's a couple of things, though. If you cannot understand a word that comes out of my mouth today, just ask somebody on the side. They will translate it for you, okay? That's how it goes. Thanks. Welcome. Before I go any further, I want to invite you for tonight. Tonight we have two services at 7 and 8:30. We have some amazing thing prepared for you. I hope this far, this service have suited you and that you've seen feeling God's presence in this place and that you're getting the message of love. Today, it is the last week of Advent. The last weekend of Advent, we celebrate love. For the past few weeks, we have taken Advent seriously and we light up all these candles that means hope and peace and joy. And today, we were talking about love. With that said, I would like to pray and we'll continue with the message. Father God, we're so thankful for who you are, for loving us even when we didn't deserve it. We are so blessed to be in your house today with your people. Help us remember that to share love, it is to share Christ. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. I always in my sermon start with a theme. There's always a theme that drives how I preach. There's always a theme that drives my thought processes that I've been putting a sermon together. And the theme for you today is this. Loving and being loved is an essence, part of the human experience. Let me say that again. Loving and being loved is an essential part of our human existence. We were created from love, of love, and for love. Our existence makes no sense outside of this little word love. Everything we say and everything we do is based by the things that we love, right? If you think, you know, in your own personal life, there is those one little personal things that you love. When I think about love, I think about family, right? You think about family, you think about Christmas. This is a special time of the year where all the families get together and the word love is supposed to be highlighted. Even though there's differences there, even though there might be a little bit of bickering here and there, we know that this time reminds us that we ought to love one another. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of love. We thank God for the hope he has given us, for the peace he has bestowed upon us, for the joy he has poured in our hearts, and for the love that redeems us, that he showed us. Advent is a season of anticipation, of expectation, and there is nothing more anticipated and expected than a life of love. Laura and I, this year, got the great privilege. My father-in-law, my in-laws, came down from Iowa. They live out somewhere over there, you know, different nation, Iowa, right? That's where they are from. They speak weird over there. Weirder than I do, really. I'm serious. There's a guy from Iowa in here, so I got to be careful. But so he came from Iowa, picked us up, and took us to Washington D.C. They want to surprise the kids and give them a little vacation time through the summer. So they picked us all up and took us to the Washington D.C. And one of the things that I love about Washington is all the art that we were able to see. Art comes in many different forms. If you visit a museum or art gallery, you see all the different kinds of of art that you see. There's sculpture, there's pottery, there's calligraphy, there's painting. You know, there's all kind of good stuff that we can come up with. Creativity. I love creativity, don't you? People can use their gifts and their mind to create something beautiful. Though each of these is beautiful and valuable, this art that we were able to see, the Bible talks to us of a form of art that is more important and more enduring than any of the arts that I was able to see in Washington, D.C. It's a living art. Funny story, this week I was with the kids. We need to go buy Christmas gift for Laura. So Thursday, yeah, that's right, Thursday. That's when I took my kids to go shopping at the outside mall. And it was freezing out, right? So it was a bad recipe. Don't take your kids Thursday, the week before Christmas, to go shopping in a mall that is open, right? So, and then I'm not a good shopper, right? So I told the kids, you guys can get whatever you want for your mom. That's not good, right? Just don't do that. Why did I do that? So as you come in the mall, there is this, the stores, you know, there's a lady talking on the phone, half Lauren, you know. There's this lady just talking there, and Caleb goes there and look at the lady, and she's like looking at him, and he's looking at her, and like, dude, this is weird, this is awkward. What are you doing? He's like, that statue looked like a lady. I was like, dude, that's a lady talking on the phone, man. What you doing, man? Like, this lady's probably looking at me, talking to Caleb, and she's probably like, what is this weirdo's doing, you know? So, yeah, that's my life. Thanks for laughing at it. Yeah, it is awesome. That's not the living art that I'm talking about. Now I'm thinking at the lady. She probably, oh my goodness, I'm sorry. If you were here and you were the lady, I'm sorry, okay? Living art. Francis Schaeffer said, no work of art is more important than the Christian own life. Francis Schaeffer, a very good Christian author, he says this, no work of art is more important than the Christian's own life. And every Christian is called upon to be an artist in this sense. How are you composing your art? Is that the right word? Composing? How are you putting the art together? How is your living art? The Christian life is to be a thing of truth and also a thing of beauty in the midst of a lost and desperate world. I think we all this morning at about 6 in the morning got an Amber Alert on our phone that was crying out, Woke up all the kids, Laura was mad. But I was reminded at that day that the message of love, it is a very good one for the world to hear today. For us to hear today. See, there was a lady who was stripped away from her car, and her 2-year-old baby was in the car while a guy drove away. The world that we live today needs love. Francis Schaeffer is right. It is our responsibility, the Christian life. It is us, the Christians, the one who understand who Christ is, to live a life that represents Him. No work of art is more beautiful, more precious than life lived for God in an imitation of His Son. It is no surprise that Paul talked about highly about how love, it is important, how love is a virtue, it is the chief of all virtues. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 13, Paul tells us this, now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Paul says, listen, there's very good things out there, there's virtues out there, faith, hope, and love, but the best one of them is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. John, the beloved disciple, also reminds us of this. Let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. I want you to pay attention on those verses from John. Let us love one another. How are you loving lately? How are you loving lately? Because it is important. It determines how much you know God. He says this, for love is from God, and whoever loves have been born of God and knows God. Lack of love determines lack of knowledge of God. Have you ever thought of that? Lack of love determines your lack of knowledge of God. Love is the mark of everything we say and do. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 14 tells us this. Let all that you do be done in love. If we are realists and really think about these verses above, it is true. Love tends to drive people's life. How we live our lives. We all say and do things that we love. We are more moved by the people and the things that we love than anything else. It is all about love, isn't it? Isn't it all about love? There's this little great little move, this song. I can't sing, so it'll be out of tune. But it says like, all we need is love. Love is all we need. All we need is love. I don't know. See, I can't sing. Where is Sarah? This song is true. All we need is love, and love is all we need. We have the need to give and to receive love. We all have a need to be loved. We all have a need to love. Have you ever thought about that? Loving and being loved is an essential part of our human experience. Sam, you talk about love. What about this messed up world in which we live? And people come to me so many times and say, if love is all we need and love is so important, why we have so many evil in the world? And I say, that's the wrong question for you to ask. The question is this, in the evil world that we live today, why is it that love is possible? It is not the other way around. Love is possible because God himself is love, and he make it in this evil world love to be possible. And Paul, in chapter 13, I'm going to read the whole thing for you because I think it is important for us to spend some time reading the Word of God this morning. Paul, 1 Corinthians, he tells us, chapter 13, and I think I have the whole thing there for you. All right? This is what Paul says. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong and a clanging and a clanging cymbals. And if I have prophecy powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not inhitable or resentful. It does not rejoice on wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. As for prophecy, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. And as for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now, we see in mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Let me summarize what Paul says. It doesn't matter what you do in life. It doesn't matter what you give it away. It doesn't matter the words you say. It doesn't matter the words that a pastor say or a prophet or whatever people say in religions out there. It doesn't matter. What matters most is the little word love. Because love will remain forever. Everything else will pass away. Sometimes we want to make a biblical passage more complicated than it really is. Paul is saying, all we need is love, and love is all we need. For we, God's people, who understand and who have received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and when we profess that he is the eternal life of God to us, that he's a gift of God to us, when we declare dependency on him, And we have the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts and we start to live by the Spirit now. To hear that love is all we need is a good thing. It is like getting a cup of coffee outside right now, right? It's just refreshing. You know why? Because we understand that we become part of Christ's body when we accept Him as our Lord and Savior. And John chapter 4, verse 8 tells us this. It's a very little thing. It's a very little passage. I just want you to get it, okay? Look what he says. God is love. Isn't that all we need? Is love? Isn't love what we need? See, Paul is looking at us and saying, it doesn't matter how all these things you're saying or doing. If you don't understand your need for God, your need for love, is not going to matter because only God will remain forever. I was reading an article from Forbes Leadership Forum the other day. And back a few years ago, the scientists found this great particle they called the God particle. Have you heard about that? Since then, they changed the name to, where is it here in my notes? Higgs boson. Have you ever heard about that? They break down matters to a minimal spot, to a minimal things. They found this one particle that is like the foundation for everything, and they call it the God particle. Isn't it funny that scientists and atheists would name their greatest discovery, the greatest scientific discovery, God's particle? Isn't it hilarious that those who reject the notion of God, those who reject the name of God, would call such an important piece of their craft the particle God, the God particle? Of course, they have changed the name because many people criticize them for putting that name on it. But here's the reality. People everywhere is looking for God. People everywhere is looking for God. We believe we know better and that we can take care of ourselves better. So we craft this, we fashion this God who fits our false expectations or this preconceived idea of who God is. And we see that on our own lives and even scientists and atheists' lives. But the Bible is clear to us that love is the greatest proof of God. Where there is love, there is God, right? So I often tell people, stop looking for God. Stop looking for God. Everybody's looking for Him. Stop looking for Him. You can find God when you start loving others. In the Christian church, we, especially this time of the year, we talk about this Emmanuel. Emmanuel, we sang about it today, which means God is with us. The best way to make this word be fulfilled in the midst of us, it is to love those around us. Emmanuel, God is with us. It is us living loving life towards those around us. Sam, that's not possible. That's not possible to love some that is in my life. And here, I always tell people this, if God loved you and I, accepted us the way you are, how can we do any less? Listen, I have been married for 14 years with Laura, and I know there are times, very few times, that it's hard to love me, because I'm a cool guy, right? But, you know, we have been married for 14 years, and there are times that it's hard to love your spouse. I know. Sometimes it's hard to love your kid when he's looking at a lady and making faces, right? It is hard to love them when they're whining at you, when you just give them a gift and they say, this is not what I want, or when your boss is really in your case to get a job done. I know it is hard to love people and to accept them for who they are. It is so easy to look at people and say, well, guess what? I don't like you because you're bald. That's fine. I understand that. but I have a pretty face. I know I don't. I put a bow tie on to try to help this out. You know what I'm saying? That's how it goes. So, why do I do that, right? I just go around. Listen, I know it is hard to love people, to accept them for the it is hard to accept people for the ugliness, for the mistakes that they make, for the wrong words they say, for the wrong attitude. But God himself accepted you and loved on you for who you are. He didn't ask you to change. His love is what brought change to your life. So it's our love towards those around us that will change their lives. If God loved and accept us for who we are, how can we do any less? See, here's the thing. Love is not less than what we feel, but it is certainly more than that. Let me say that again. Love is not less than what we feel, but it's certainly more than that. Can you imagine if God just felt love for you, didn't love you with his actions? See, because love is much more than a feeling, it is action. God is not concerned that we would just feel love for another. He wants us to act in love towards somebody. No work of art is more beautiful, more precious than a life lived on love. John 4:19 says, we love God because God loves us first. So how's your work of art? How's your work of art? What is your life like? Is someone who describe you as a loving person? People like you and I, we expect love. That's what we want in life. We all feel the need to be loved and to give love away. I was reading a magazine that talks about Hollywood artists and celebrity giving to charity. The most charitable people around, while millions of dollars given away. But I could not stop wondering, was there love in the action? I can't know, I won't judge, but if there is no love, there is no gain. That's what Paul tells us. If you can give, if you can have all this faith, if you can have all this action, but have no love, then it doesn't matter. Ultimately, it's how we give through love that matters. It ultimately is how we give evidence of God himself. It is through love. So how we give love away, how we share love is what matters. See the first chapter, the chapter 13 of Corinthians, which I just read for you. There's a paraphrase part of that. I would love to read it for you. This is what the paraphrase for that reads. I'll read it for you. If I decorate my house perfectly with bows, strands of twinkle lights, and shining objects, but do not show love to my family, I am just another decorator. If I slave away in the kitchen, cooking, baking dozens of Christmas cookies, and making and preparing gourmet meals, and arranging a beautiful ornate table, for the meal time, but do not show love to my family, I am just another cook. If I work at a soup kitchen, carol in the nursing home, and give all that I have to charity, but do not show love to my family, it profits me nothing. If I trim the spruce with shimmering angels and crochet snowflakes and attend many holidays parties and sings in the choir cantata, but do not focus on Christ, I have missed the point. See, love stops the cooking and hugs the child. Love sits aside the decorating to kiss the spouse. Love is kind of tough at times, but it's comforting. Love doesn't envy another's home that has coordinated Christmas china in the table leaning. Love doesn't yell at the kids to get out of the way. I don't like that. So, not all the time it looks like that, right? Love doesn't yell at the kids to get out of the way. Love doesn't give only to those who are able to give in return, but rejoices and gives to those who can't. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. Video games will break. Pearl necklace will rust. Golf balls will disappear. But giving the gift of love will remain forever. This is what this season is about, the gift of love. God is love. All we need is love, and love is all we need. Advent is a time for kindness, thinking of others, and sharing with others. It is a time to love as God loves us by giving us his most precious gift, which is his Son, Jesus Christ. As God is love, let us be love also. I would like to finish this sermon with three Bible verses that I'm just going to read it for you straight up. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 17 and 19 says this: For the Lord your God is a God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who is not partial and takes no bribe, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and who loves the strangers, providing them food and clothing. You also love the strangers, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. The question is, how are you loving the strangers in your life? From John, we read a couple of passages. John 13, 34 and 35 says this: I give you a new command, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Are we being a great representation of Christ? Are we telling the world that we are disciples of Jesus because we live on love? Last one, 1 John 4 tells us this: Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. This is John's Christmas story right here, right? That the love of God was manifested upon us, among us, that he sent his only Son into the world. And that's what love is about. Is the fact that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to live on earth and to give his life for you and I. My prayer for you and for us today is that we would start to work on this living art, that we would become that beautiful living art of love, that give love away because we have been given love by the one who came down from heaven and died on the cross of Calvary to set us free. Let me pray.